So ESPN has now gone broken into Live Sports Center to have the camera where Shefty's texting people. Shefty's texting people. Shefty's making weird faces at his phone. And they're all reacting to something that just happened on the Pat McAfee show. Which this was always going to be. Now, Rodgers has to be careful of how he says things because it's not official. Like the team
gotta
actually.
Be careful here.
He's got to be careful. Yeah. But he can't say it exactly. So he did the media savvy thing, which is, hi, Pat. Hi, 400,000 people watching live on YouTube right now. My intention is to play for the New York Jets. And with that, we bring in Robin Washington of HuskerOnline.com. Robin, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I'm a lot better now that I finally have some closure on Aaron Rodgers. I've been just stressing for days upon weeks about what that guy was going to do. Now we can turn the page.
Are you a regular watcher of the Pat McAfee show?
I am not. But, man, that guy struck gold getting basically to be the exclusive Aaron Rodgers reporter during this soap opera of last few years he's had.
Seriously. I mean, what an exact, you know, timing that just lines perfectly up. They're good friends, but he goes on the show, and now we actually care about what Aaron Rodgers is doing because he's actually doing interesting things. Very, very, I mean, I don't know if you call it lucky, whatever, but worked out well for him.
Yeah, but paid to know the right people, I guess.
Are you watching the coverage on ESPN of Schefter texting people?
You know, no, I'm not. because, I don't know, I don't really think that this is going to change the Jets' fortunes
I'm with
all
you.
That much. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not like this earth-shattering thing for me, and I'm sure Packer fans out there might disagree, Jets fans out there might disagree, but for everybody else, it's just like, whatever. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about Darren Waller going to the Giants.
That's what that led me right into it, Robin. Your thoughts of what's gone on in the last week or so here with the Danny Dimes and now the Darren Waller and still a lot of cap space out there. They got Darren Waller basically for Kadarius Toney, which is great.
Yeah, so it was a third rounder, but it was the Chiefs' third rounder, which is like the back end. It was pick like 100. So pretty decent value there, especially if you can stay healthy. But I'm just celebrating having competent ownership, or at least a competent front office for the first time in a long time, where like they make moves like this. You're not just like, you paid Kenny Golladay how much? You pay, you know, like they're actually getting guys that could help us be good as opposed to just crippling yourself with dead money and keeping yourself at the bottom of the NFC East.
Obviously, we were prepared for this possibility after what happened in the Big Ten tournament last Wednesday, but Nebraska falls short of the NIT. What's your the game was not great for Nebraska. Obviously, it was their worst loss this season, came at the worst possible time. But just your reaction of them missing the NIT and seemingly not missing the NIT by much.
Yeah, so going into that, I think I probably said this on your show, my thought was that if they beat Minnesota, they were pretty much a lock to go to the NIT. And anything beyond that wasn't a matter of if they get in or not, it'd be a matter of what seed they are and if they're going to host. But apparently, you know, kind of talking to some people after the fact, there were people on the NIT committee that were under the impression, under the thinking that Nebraska needed to win two to be a quote-unquote lock. So even if they beat Minnesota, there's a chance that they still would have had to beat Maryland in the next round to assure themselves a spot. Now, you know, maybe that thinking was before, like, North Carolina pulled out and kind of shook up the NIT bracket. I don't know. But just I think the number of things that Nebraska needed to have happen that didn't happen, aside from beating Minnesota, made it a real tough spot for them. So I don't know exactly where they fell in terms of next teams out, but it sounds like losing to Minnesota – wasn't like you know, it wasn't like a win and end type game. Like they probably had to do a little bit more and have a few more things
Man.
beyond their own control happen for them to lock up a spot in the
Yeah,
NHL.
you want to talk about people being triggered. If they would have beat Minnesota, and you had everybody, you know, thinking you're safe, and then to watch the NIT show on Sunday night at like 9 o'clock and not have Nebraska's name, that would have been a little different of a feeling than we actually got on Sunday night when Nebraska did not make the field.
Yeah, it would have been almost the level of being, you know, a 22-win team, 13-5 in the Big Ten, and being a 5 seed going on the road in the NIT. It would have been almost to that level, but not quite.
Gut punch for sure. Portal season has begun. Oleg goes in yesterday. Very sad. We'll miss Oleg. I guess first of all, on him. Do you think that was more of a Oleg decision or the team decision?
Probably just the writing on the wall situation. The one-on-one meetings started this week. And you know, they probably just laid it out to him. It's like, you got some minutes this year, but a lot of that was just kind of out of necessity with Blaze being hurt, Juwan Gary being hurt, and Derek Walker missing time earlier in the season. Like, so, you know, they probably said, we can't guarantee you even that much playing time. Just because I think he still had a ways to go with his development, especially just adjusting to the speed of the game. He had some nice intangibles, you know, obviously being 7 foot, but you know, he was relatively skilled and coordinated for being a 7 footer. But I think just, you know, the physicality and speed of the Big Ten, he had some work to do there, and they probably laid it out. It's like, we can't guarantee you that you're going to get enough opportunity next season to catch up the way that, you know, you would need to catch up. So, you know, it's probably Nebraska laying it out that way and Oleg saying, you know what, I could probably go find somewhere else that I can actually play and develop my game and get, you know, substantial minutes, game minutes, so that, you know, it's probably worked out best for both sides that decision happened.
Over under two more guys go in from Nebraska.
I'll say over, just because, you know, the average is 3, so 2 more would put him at 3. It could be right at 3, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was another one, because usually there's always somebody that, especially now with the portal being what it is, I think mm-hmm. they've just set a record for the most entries in the first 48 hours of the portal being opened.
Yep. We're at 440 at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be thousands of people in the portal. Like, so
thousands. You know, it can fill up a whole arena. You can fill up, sell out PBA with the people in the portal.
I mean, there was over 1,000 last year, right? So, I mean, like.
Well, I think there was over 2,000, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, like, it's just kind of the name of the game right now. Like, keeping 13 scholarship players happy in today's transfer portal era is impossible. You know, it just doesn't happen. So, you know, I think that, you know, you try to have a core of 9 to 10 guys, and anything on that is just kind of a, you take flyers on, and they're just kind of moving pieces. So that being said, it wouldn't surprise me at all if there was over 3, to answer your question.
I think there was, now looking at the number on verbal commits, there was 1763 that went into the portal last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a stretch to say there could be 2,000 guys.
No, not at all. With that being said, I mean, Nebraska's going to, they're going to be active there looking for, you know, we've talked about this before, a wing, probably a big, and you know, maybe a good guard, a good point guard too. I guess we've talked about what they want to go after sort of from a priority standpoint, but how about the idea of just how easy or difficult it might be to recruit in the portal the way Nebraska is going to have to this year, which is, hey, we have a core, we have some guys that are going to be surrounding you, but you're talking to this guy and you're saying you're going to have to come in and be our leading scorer. There's an ease to that, but there's also a difficulty in that in picking the guy. What do you think about sort of that piece of it?
I don't know if that necessarily needs to be the pitch, especially if you get Tominaga back. I mean, you got Lawrence, you got Tominaga, and You got Juwan Gary back in the equation there. So, I mean, like, you don't need to say, hey, we need you to come in and drop 18 a game. Like, you know, I think that that might actually broaden the options that they have, because the 18 a game guys, you know, everybody's going to want them. So I think that you can look for things, intangibles beyond just point production. And I think they should be looking for things beyond point production, because one of the biggest things they're losing from last season's roster is leadership and a team first mentality with Sam Greasel, Derek Walker, and Emmanuel Bandamel. So the core they have coming back embodies a lot of that, but I think any additions they bring in need to have that as well. So, you know, I don't think that you're necessarily looking to come in and get a you know, a guy who's going to lead the Big Ten in scoring, because that's not the formula that you've kind of rebuilt this program around. So I think that they're going to have other pitches and other priorities that they're going to be looking for in these additions. As far as, you know, what they need, you know, like you said, I'd probably put point guard and a scoring big, or at least an offensive minded big, at 1A, 1B, and you can adjust those as whatever your preference is, and then maybe a scoring wing beyond that as the next priority. But you know, I think that there's other things that I think that they've the way that they recruit the portal now is a lot different than they have been, to where they were just looking to go get the best available player. Now they're looking for guys that are good players, that are the best fits for what they're trying to build. So I think that's what differentiates it a little bit, to where you know, the things that they're looking for and the things that they're prioritizing are a lot different than they used to be.
Do you, I mean, to the Tominaga and Lawrence point that you made before, do you like want to build a next year's team around Keisei Tominaga if you get him back? Like, how does that work if they do end up getting him back? And what's the sort of message to him on what he would be on next year's team?
I mean, I don't know if he's like going to be your centerpiece, but certainly he's shown, you know, that he's more than capable of being a, you know, mid double figure scorer, where you can count on getting 15 a game out of him. And if you have Jamarcus Lawrence take that next step, that's another guy that's potentially in that 12 to 15 point per game type guy. And then you get Juwan Gary, who's in that 12 to 15 ish point per game. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, they don't need to go and get like a game changing
I don't know. I still think he
score. I mean,
needs somebody
obviously
to sort
that's
of
what you
run
need
it
guys to
through.
score. You know, we'll see what they can get. That's why I think a scoring wing is, and they need a scoring big too, because right now their front court, there's not a lot of offense there right now. I mean, after Juwan Gary, who, you know, is a four, more out of toughness than it is out of his frame. You don't, I mean, Blaze Cayton is not going to give you a lot offensively. And then, you know, you lose obviously Derek Walker. You got to replace some depth with Oleg there. So, I mean, there's some voids there now in that front court that, you know, you need somebody that you can give the ball to in the post and you can go make a play. So I think that maybe that vaults above point guard, as far as like your top priority. But, you know, I think those two things, if you can get a true floor general point guard that can also score, and then a big that can make plays in the paint, you know, at least somewhat to the level of Derek Walker, then I think you have a cast around that, you know, you're more supplementing as opposed to trying to go out there and get, you know, your new alpha that's going to carry your offense next year.
I'm also really interested in the, you know, the kinds of players that they might be looking for, given the success they were able to find with Greasel and Walker this year, and how unique those players are for the. I mean, you're not gonna find Edie, you know, as a big. Like, it's just, you know, Nebraska's not gonna get that guy, and there's very few of them out there. But so they got it done with those guys in, you know, where Walker's probably 6'9" and Greasel's 6'7", and they're both, you know, sort of doing different things than what their positions would normally tell them. I'm interested, and you're at the mercy of sort of what's out there. But I do think that changes, you know, depending on who you get in those spots, it changes the game, you know, for the guys who are already here and part of the core, the guys that you mentioned, like Lawrence and whoever goes beyond that as well. Like, it changes their game a little bit too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, if they go
Walker
out and
was
get
great. Walker was such a
Deontay
great,
Johnson. I mean, like, let's think about it. Like, they were very, very close to having a All-American on their roster last year. So, you know, if you get a guy like that, sure, it changes things for everybody involved, because that is that type of player that all of a sudden he becomes the guy, where, you know, not every transfer is going to be able to do that. So, I mean, there's certainly that possibility. And Nebraska was in on some pretty high-level guys. And the real interesting X factor now is with the basketball program's move to the 1890 initiative. Now they have a much more organized,
it's a big deal,
substantial NIL operation. And with the way that the season went, the interest from potential donors is probably a whole lot higher than it used to be, where you know, those types of people are going to be a lot more willing and interested in giving money to the basketball program, whereas before they might not have. So I think that might be a game changer too, in being able to close on some of these high level transfers that they were close on a year ago. Maybe now they're going to be in a situation where they actually have the resources to finish the job and get them here.
Robin, great stuff. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you soon.
Yep. See you, Connor.
We'll talk to Robin again next week. I guess I should stop telling people to enjoy their weekend. It's Wednesday.
Well, it's Friday for you.
It's Friday in my mind, baby.
And you're,
we're going to Denver.
That's right. The baseball series has been moved for Creighton.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's going to Wichita. I will not be going to Wichita. I will be going to Denver. That's me driving tomorrow. All right.
Driving fast?
I'm a tepid speeder. So
tepid speeder.
Speed limit 75. Sure. I'm probably hitting you with a little 79 action.
Okay. Okay. That's about where I'm at. I would have guessed you to be a little bit of a lead foot.
No, there's some people that are really zooming out there.
Oh,
I like to keep it in the right lane as much as possible.
Okay.
Just listen to some podcasts, listen to some NCAA tournament games. Tomorrow's going to be a great day. All right. Josh has a top five next on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.